Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
That's a little bit what I want to talk to you tonight. If you'll turn with me to Joshua chapter 24, we'll go there, Joshua chapter 24. And I want to talk to you just a little bit about Joshua. I like Joshua. You know, Joshua's a special person. He didn't have no father or no mother. He was the son of none. You'll get that later. You'll get that later. If you'll stand with me tonight, we'll go to Joshua 24. And Joshua 24, and once again, I'm thankful to be able to stand. Thankful for the opportunity. And I want to tell you, I love your kids. I love the youth. And I thank you so much for letting us just have them for just a little bit. I feel like they're mine, right? So I thank you for that, and me and Miss Maddie greatly appreciate that. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 24, we'll start in verse 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges. It's always good to bring your head with you when somebody calls for you, and their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Flip back with me to chapter 23 for just a second. In verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass a long time after the Lord hath given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Verse 2, and Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads again and for their judges, for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I beg you, Lord, with all that's in me, that you'd hide me behind the cross. God, I pray, Lord, you speak through me. Lord, I pray you'd guard my mouth. God, I pray, Lord, that everything I'm supposed to say should be said. But Lord, I also pray that nothing that I say that shouldn't be said would be said. Lord, I pray you'd help me, hide me behind the cross. God, may the people, Lord, not see me tonight, but Lord, that you'd use me, Lord, in only a way that you can. Calm my nerves. Help us as we study your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, and I want to look back and forth between 24 and 23 for just a little bit. But in the beginning of chapter 24, you see a chosen congregation, a gathered group, but not just any group. Joshua called for the very best. He says, give me the tribes of Israel at Shechem. No doubt Joshua thought this was his last farewell address to the children of Israel in chapter 23, as the Bible said he waxed old and was stricken in age and warned them, I go the way of the earth. However, when we look at chapter 23, Joshua gives them one more lesson of just how good God hath been to them. Boy, it's always good for us to look back and see, boy, God's been good to us. But I want you to, when they look at the first part of chapter 23, there is no, thus saith the Lord God. And here's the difference. When Joshua goes back to chapter 23, he's given them a lesson of wisdom. He's given them a lesson of, hey, boys, I've been there before. Hey, boys, I've walked down this road. Hey, we have been together. Hey, we've seen God do many things. Hey, we've seen God deliver us. And begins to give them the words of Joshua in chapter 23, just how many times the hand of God had delivered them because of who they were, but more importantly, of whose they were. He begins to remind them of how it would do them good to keep and to do all that is written in the book in the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And it's still great words and theology of today for us to put in practice, but these are the words of Joshua. Joshua says, boys, God's been good to us. The God of Israel had blessed us. Boy, it'd be good for each of you to stay away from the nations among you that serve those little g gods in chapter 23. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. God's delivered you, and don't you forget it, is what Joshua is saying in chapter 23. Lest ye fall back into the snares and the traps which God had delivered you from. You know what's my job today? is to stand up before you and say, hey, let's remember some things. Let's remember what God has brought us from. Let us remember what God has brought us out of and not turn back to those things in our life that may easily snare us. Hey, young people, middle-aged people, old people, the devil still walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Yes. Young people, he wants to wreck your life before you ever have a chance to experience or to lay out your life. Hey, God has a will for your life, but guess what? The devil's got a will just as well. And you're at a pivotal point in your life to where you're at a fork, where you choose God's will or where you choose your will. Joshua reminds them. He says, hey, stay away from the snares. Remember where God's brought us from. He says, I'm dying. I'm not always going to be here with you. I can't always help you. I can't always hold your hand or go and get you and jerk you back whenever you've walked off the... I'm passing away. I'm going back to the earth. And here's some things that I want to give you. Joshua in chapter 3 and 23 did nothing wrong, right? He did nothing wrong, but he poured out his heart as Joshua. Hey, this is some things that I've seen along the way. I want to help you. But I want you to look the difference in chapter 24. When you get to chapter 24, Joshua begins to say, hold on a second. Hold on a minute. I got just a little more time with them. And I know how they are, Joshua thinks. And the Lord grants him a little more strength. And he says, son, now get after it. And in chapter 24, you see the opening. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers as they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You know what's going to change chapter 23's outcome to chapter 24? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You know what my job is tonight is I can warn you. I can tell you of personal testimonies. I can tell you of things where I've missed it. Young people, I can tell you I've messed up. Don't go down this road, but hold on. There's more important things when it comes out to say, hey, this is thus saith the Lord God of Israel. This is what God has delivered to me. This is what I got for you, young people. And Joshua said, Lord, if you'll give me just a little more strength, I want to give you thus, I want to give them thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And Joshua begins to rear back to that chosen congregation that we see in 23 and 24. And he says, gather all the tribes to Shechem, boys. I feel a word that's about to come on. And Joshua cuts loose with thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Chapter 23, he's given his words of wisdom. But chapter 24, God says, now give them what I've got to tell you. Given what I've got to tell you. Hey, thus saith the Lord God of Israel will change our lives tonight. Mom and daddies, you want to know what's going to change your kids' life? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You know what's going to change your baby's life tonight? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. You know what's going to change our lives tonight as adults and older people is thus saith the Lord God. Hey, I'm really not interested in the other things. I'm really not interested in the opinions. Hey, give me thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And Joshua said, Lord, grant me the strength one more time to stand and say, proclaim, thus saith the Lord. I see a chosen congregation that is before him. Number two, I see the call of remembrance that's around him. You can even look at the place where he's appointed this meeting. As he says in the beginning of the chapter, get them all to Shechem for me. The appointing of the place for this meeting. Shechem here holds great meaning throughout the life of the children and the tribes of Israel. It was the place where Abraham, the first trustee of God's covenant with his people, settled at his coming to Canaan. This place was also the place where God appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, a place of promises God had made to their fathers and a place where they themselves had promised back to him. I ask you tonight, where's your Shechem? Where's your Shechem? What's your Shechem? Hey, it's a place where God hath made promises to them, but they have made promises to God. I believe Joshua is saying, get everybody over to Shechem, for I cannot discard this place and what it means in the lives and to the children of Israel. Get to Shechem, the heritage that Shechem had. Today, church, needs to be your Shechem in your life. You need to have a place to where you can come back. All right, this church should be your Shechem. This altar should be your Shechem. This grounds should be your Shechem, a place where I can come and say, hey, God has helped me here. God has spoke to me here. But hold on, I have told the Lord stuff here. I have made promises back to him here, and I've kept those promises. Have a Shechem in your life. You're going to need a Shechem. Hey, them babies need a Shechem. Our teenagers, oh, that was good right there. That's loud. Did I do that? Did you do that? Something popped. I don't know. There's a lot going on up here. Hey, your babies need a Shechem. Teenagers need a Shechem. Adults, We need a Shechem, boy, what not a greater place than have a Shechem at an altar, a Shechem in a church, a place where, hey, I know I can take you back to that place. I thought about a Shechem in your spiritual life. Boy, is there a place that you can take myself or others or your kids or your family? Do you have a Shechem in your life to where you can say, hey, that's where God dealt with my heart. That's where Jesus saved me. That's where I bowed the knee. Where is your Shechem? Joshua called him back to Shechem because of the place that he had had on those grounds. Shechem here was a place where God hath revealed himself mighty to his people. Can I ask you once again, do you have a Shechem? Do you have a Shechem? Can you take me down that memory lane where you made those covenants with God and with you? Can you take me to an altar where there's been a difference that's been made in your life? You need a Shechem tonight, and it's here in front of you for the taking. Many of you can oftentimes recall your grandparents' Shechem. Or many of you can often say, hey, I know where mom and daddy's Shechem's at. But where's yours at tonight? Hey, you can't ride on the coattails of grandma and grandpa. I'm thankful for the heritage that I have. I had fantastic grandparents. All right, and they instilled in me, and then probably their prayers are the reason, not probably, their prayers are the reason I'm able to stand before you today. But I can't live off grandma and grandpa's coattail. I can't live off of their Shechem, so to speak. Hey, mom and daddy has raised me right. I got the best parents in the world. All right, they've instilled into me the desires of the Lord, and they've instilled in me, hey, train up a child in the way he should go, and they did a fantastic job. But guess what? I can't rely just on their Shechem. Hey, I'm about to be a daddy myself. And there's a little baby back there, and if I rely on grandma and grandpa that are now gone, or if I rely just on grandma and grandpa that's sitting here tonight, or who's going to teach my baby where the Shechem's at in their life, where is your Shechem? Joshua called them back to Shechem. Many believe that during this time, Joshua called for the Ark of God to be brought back to show just the holiness and the reverence of what he's about to say. Thus saith the Lord before them. And as they put that ark there, it was the divine presence of God. Hey, you know what Shechem means in the Hebrew? And this is going to get you. You know what Shechem means in the Hebrew? Shoulder. Shoulder. Hey, he's my shoulder to cry on when I'm down. Hey, he's the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed. Hey, you wonder why you're so anxious and nervous all the time? There ain't no Shechem in your life. You wonder why you worry and you panic all the time? There's no Shechem in your life. Oh, he's the shoulder. Joshua said, bring them back to Shechem so that I can say, thus saith the Lord to them in chapter 24. Shechem meaning shoulder. Shechem meaning shoulder. There's a chosen congregation tonight. There's a call to remembrance tonight. Number three, there's a choice that is required. Man, it's hot up here. Joshua preaches the house down in just a few minutes with, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, reminding them of all the things God hath done for them. He began to look back, and let's go to verse 3 real quick, and I'll go quickly. Verse 3, and it says, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout the land of Canaan to multiply his seed, and gave him Isaac, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after you, after your fathers, with chariots and horsemen, unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwelt there in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you, verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them before you. Then Balak and the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. Verse 10, but I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. And the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Gerizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Termites. And I delivered you into their hand. And I, verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted. See, Joshua begins to call to remembrance some things. He begins to call to remembrance, but Joshua says, hey, boys, ultimately, there's a choice that is required. Boy, I remember how I brought you out of this land. Remember how I delivered the Amorites from your hands. Boys, I've been good to you, God said. Boy, you're living on stuff that you didn't even work for, basically, is what he said. Hey, you're living on the good graces of what Grandma and Grandpa did. You're living on the good graces of what Mom and Daddy stood for. But listen, I ain't going to be here forever. Joshua says, you better listen. I ain't going to be around forever. And if you want to keep that going for the next generation of the children of Israel, you better purpose in your heart today if what he says in verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. You know what's wrong with so many people, so many places, so many churches, so many youth? There's no fear of God. There's no fear of the Lord. I heard it said the other day, there's no fear in teenagers because they've killed every zombie. They've slayed every dragon. They've done all these things on the PS 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They've done all those different things, but there's no fear. It used to be when I was growing up that when somebody preached on hell and you trembled in fear. But now hell is a game that I can play on Saturday night. Hell is nothing more than just a word that Uncle Johnny uses way too often. All right, there's no fear of hell. There's no fear of a thrice holy God. And Joshua says, if you're going to preserve it, you better fear the Lord. You better fear the Lord. And I tell you today, young people, old people, all of us, if we're going to preserve it for the next generation, boy, there's a lot of babies in here. There's some babies to come. There's a lot of stuff. Hey, if we're going to preserve it for them, we better fear the Lord today. Joshua said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Hey, now's the time. Hey, today's the day. Young people, don't wait till you get 30 and 40 to start developing your prayer life. Today's the day. Don't wait till you get 30 and 40 and say, then I'll settle down. Because whatever wild oats you sow, guess what? Whatever you sow, going to come up somewhere, hoss. You go try it in the world out here in the dirt, and something going to come up. Whatever you sow out there today, you will reap. Fear the Lord today. Serve him while you still can. Hey, this thing's wrapping up. Boy, I love America. And if you don't like it, don't tell me, because I'll probably tell you to leave. But I love America tonight, as you can well see. But if America's going to survive, we better fear the Lord. If the church is going to survive in America, we better fear the Lord. You know why there's so many around that's empty tonight, that there's no Sunday night service and there's no Wednesday night? They lost the fear of the Lord. No, sinners don't fear going to hell. Sinners don't fear eternity. There's no fear of the Lord. And Joshua said, hey, they didn't work their backside off in the days of your fathers before for you to just throw it away. Hey, fear the Lord. However, he warns, he says, also, I know where some of our fathers were serving in them little g gods. Joshua said, fear the Lord and serve him. But in verse 15, that's where I want to sit down with you for just a minute. In verse 15, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. You say, well, why would Joshua say it's evil to serve the Lord? Hey, if it seems, let me rephrase it. If it seems dumb unto you to serve the Lord. If it seems weak unto you to serve the Lord. If it seems cheap unto you to serve the Lord. If it seems not cool, or whatever the words that the young people use. If it seems evil unto you not to serve the Lord, choose. Choose. Joshua looked before him and he said, if you've got a problem with it, if you really are, because the children of Israel done heard Joshua's insinuations in chapter 23. They've done heard, hey, this is what Joshua's come through. This is Joshua's life. Fantastic. You know, a lot of people have no problem with listening to the personal testimony of Elijah Timothy Childers. That don't bother them. They don't have a problem with saying, hey, I went down this road in my life and I messed up. Son, don't do it. They don't have a problem with that. But it's in verse 20, in chapter 24, they got a problem with, hey, hoss, thus saith the Lord God, don't do that. They have a problem with that type of stuff. And when Israel's sitting before him, Joshua says, I know y'all. I know how you act. I know where your fathers have been. I know what your fathers have done. I know how they've acted. I know that some of you, he's getting ready to deal with this. I know that some of you still got their little G gods hanging on the wall in your bedroom. I know it. I know how you are. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you today, choose. Choose. You know what? Every day you wake up in life is a choice. You had a choice to come to church tonight. Some people did not choose to do that. They knew I was going to be up here. You had a choice to come to church tonight. You got a choice, honestly, to go to work in the morning. Now, they might limit them choices on you, but you got a choice. You can do whatever you want on your last day of work. When they fire you, I mean, that's your problem, but you do whatever you want on your last day. You got a choice tonight. You got a choice. And just as children, or just as Joshua looked at Israel and said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Each and every day that we wake up out of that bed, it's a choice. Who am I going to serve today? Will I serve the gods of my fathers or the flesh? Will I serve myself today? Will I be content in myself, or will I look to the heavens and say, Lord, it's me and you today. God, I want to serve you today. Choose you this day. Joshua laid it out pretty clear before him. Joshua reminds him, hey, yesterday is not good enough anymore. Hey, you can't live on the fathers, on your father's coattail of what they've done. Joshua says, I'm not going to be here forever. You must choose. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And Joshua stepped back for just a minute and he said, hold on a second. And he said, whether that be the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the floods, the father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He said, if you want to go, hey, the choice is yours. If you want to go back, help yourself. If you're going to wake up and say, this is crazy, I want to go back to daddy's and mama's old God, little G God, he said, that's up to you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, and this wasn't just, you know, in chapter 24, he thought to himself, well, that's probably a good thing to do, so this is what I'm going to do. No, I believe they knew what Joshua was going to do. I believe they knew way before what Joshua was going to do. Hey, people shouldn't have to wonder, what's Brother Elijah going to do? What's Brother Elijah going to say? Hey, I used to think, why don't they ever come ask me nothing? Why don't they ever come ask? But I got to thinking, that's probably a good thing that people don't want to come and ask me something, because they know the answer I'm going to give them. And if they already know the answer, we ain't even got to fool with it. They know the answer. They knew the answer. Joshua, they couldn't say, Brother Aaron, you can be Joshua for a second. Which way are you going to go, man? They didn't wait and say, hey, Brother Nicholas, you're Joshua. Hey, are we going back to our father's gods, or what are we doing? No, they knew what Joshua was going to say. They knew what Joshua was going to do because Joshua lived that life before them. Joshua lived the life before them. Well, I think many times, as Joshua says, of the gods and the Amorites and whose land you are, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Guess what that statement entails? And I oftentimes wonder, do we even really, really wrap your mind around what it means to truly serve the Lord? You know what that statement tells in verse 15? It means, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Guess what? Joshua's looking at his family. It's the children of Israel. Joshua's looking at his friends. Joshua said, bring everybody to Shechem. Thus saith the Lord, I got to get out. He's looking at his family. He's looking at his friends. And he says, y'all can make the choice to do what you want to do, but guess what? You can't choose the consequence. You can't choose what comes after. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua already pinned that down in his heart, but guess what that meant? It means Joshua was probably about to lose some things in his life. Joshua was probably about to look at a cousin and say, you may go back. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you go back, it's not because I didn't warn you. It's because you chose to go back. You know, I wonder if Joshua was looking at his family and said, that one's not going to go with me. I wonder if Joshua began to look at his friends and say, that one's not going to be there. I wonder if Joshua said, I know the ancestry and how this uncle and that uncle and that uncle, I know how they have not chose to go with God in the past. And oh, that one's going to be a statistic. Oh, that one's going to be a statistic. And I'm passing off the scene. Joshua's about to die, and I wonder if his heart broke as he stood there and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua sent the armies. He reminded them, "Hey, I want you to come with me. I want you to be a part. I brought us here together. This is thus saith the Lord." But I'll bet he knew in his mind, "Boy, some of them's not going to go with me. Some of them's not going to go with me." I think about the great men in the Bible who have coined and who have lived the phrase, "If you don't learn first how to walk alone, you won't walk forlorn." Hey, church, if we don't learn sometimes at some point in our life, Christian life, to walk alone on some things, you're not going to walk forlorn. If you've got to have a posse, if you've got to have a group, if you've got to have a large gathering, you ain't going to last long in this life. Because Jesus has already said, if they hated me, what makes you think they're going to like you? Jesus has already said that. If you've got to have a crowd, you ain't going to walk for long. Now, as a church, we're supposed to be going in the same direction. We're supposed to be in one accord. We're supposed to be. But guess what? Some point in your life, you will have to step out on faith by yourself that He's still God. As Joshua told right in front of these people, that the God that Joshua served is still the God that I served. If you don't learn to walk alone, you're not going to walk forlorn. You won't walk forlorn. I think about the great men and women God used throughout our Bible, such as Joseph, who was sold by his family, lied upon by his friends, and forgotten by his fellow man, yet he still followed. Job lost his children, his earthly possessions, was scorned by his friends, and made to feel worse than death by his own wife, yet he still followed. Esther stood on the brink of extinction of her people, knowing she would have to step out by herself for such a time as this, risking her very life, yet she still followed. And I think of Jesus himself as he walked about this earth and stood alone in so many areas, leaving us the perfect example even unto the death of the cross, yet he went a little further. Most times, alone. There's going to be some times that you're going to have to stand up as Joshua and say, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though nobody goes with me, still I will follow." Hey, you know where the rubber's going to meet the road? When you get to the point in your life where you can say, "If nobody else serves the Lord, then me and my house is going to. If everybody else trades in pulpits for rolling carts, my family's going to serve the Lord. If everybody else drops the dress standard, my family's going to serve the Lord. If everybody else is going to stay out of the lands of the Father that was before them, that's okay, but my family is going to serve the Lord." Daddies, where are you at tonight? Fathers, where are you at tonight? Grandpas, for God's sake, don't drop the ball now. You've come this far as a grandpa. Don't throw it in now. It makes no sense. I talked to somebody the other day. It makes no sense of somebody that is a seasoned veteran, so to speak, in the Word of God, in the life of God, that wants to throw it away in the end. You've made it all the way. Why would you throw it away in the end? Boy, I think about all those men. You know, Joshua is standing for his family, friends, and his people, saying, "Though none go with me, still I will follow." I think about the many heroes of today who've gone before us and paved the way so that you and I can do what we're doing. All right, we're celebrating July 4th. I got red, white, and blue on, and I'm proud of it tonight. But you think about the ones that went before you that gave all. Yes, sir. That gave all for your freedom, but gave all for your spiritual freedoms that you hold today. Hey, people that have paved the way even in this area of Surrey County and Stokes County and Yakin County that have stood the test. Yes, sir. And their churches still stand today because they stood the test. But they're slowly, one by one, falling off the scene. You know why? Anybody can go with me because I'm going to follow everybody. Anybody can go with me because I'm going to follow everybody. I think of ones that have paved the way so that you could have the possessions of freedom and be able to walk on the path standing on a King James Bible. The opportunity to be and to worship as an independent fundamental Baptist in which I do not regret or renounce but strive to replenish and renew within the next generation. I think about the next generation that comes up. The Bible said there was a generation that knew not God. Boy, what a generation we're watching today. I think about that next generation. Friend, why do you think we're referred to as the Bible Belt? In an area in which men stood without apology to honor a thrice holy God, holding fast that sinners would come to repentance. Because some men and women purposed in their heart early, though none go with me, still I will follow. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Hey, if my family leaves for this world, still I will follow. If my friends leave me because it's no longer cool to serve Jesus, still I will follow. If I'm the only one left and I must walk this road alone, still I will follow. Joshua already purposed in his heart, Lord, I'm about the end of my rope. I'm about the end of my scene. But still, I will follow. I ask you, Grandpa, you going to follow? Hey, what about it, Grandma? You going to quit now? Hey, you got little ones that's looking to you like never before. What about it, daddies? What about it, mamas? If everybody else quits, you still going to go? How about it, children? If mama and daddy was to say, we're going to trade the redbacks in for beach balls, what you going to do? Will still y'all follow? Will still you follow? How about it, preachers? How about it, teachers? How about it, church members? What about it, Christian? Will you still follow? There's a merciful Savior that leaves that decision in your hands today. And the question is and always has been, what will you do with Jesus? I can tell you on the account of Mr. and Mrs. Elijah Childers, still we will follow Mama. Hey, Miss Maddie, if nobody else goes with us, me and you's going to follow. Hey, friend, I got a little girl that's looking to her daddy. And I ain't even seen her yet, but I know she's in there because, you know, that's my little girl. And I can talk to her belly, and she's going to get mad at me for saying that. I can talk to her belly, and guess what? A little foot begins to kick my hand. And guess what? If daddy don't follow, there's no hope for my baby girl. There's no hope for my baby. Hey, mama, still we will follow. Still we will follow. Well, I've had family members turn their backs. That's okay. That's okay. Still, I will follow. Hey, I've had friends look at me and say, boy, you're narrow-minded and you're no good. That's okay. Still, I will follow. Hey, I've had acquaintances look at me and say, you're crazy, man. That's okay. Still, I will follow because there is one who is worth all my reverence and my allegiance. And his name is Jesus Christ tonight. And guess what? If you don't know him, you can't follow him. If you don't have the relationship, you can't follow it. I ask you tonight, church, who will you follow? Who are you following? When thou passest through the waters, here's the best part. You think when you're following that you're all alone. And it may be for about a split second, because God's waiting for you to step out to see if you're going to follow. But you think for about a split second that you're all alone. But I'm reminded of what Isaiah said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Oh, he's a good Savior to follow. Hey, I have no regrets in following my Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Will you come and start playing softly for me? Though none go with me, still I will follow. I don't want it to be in my life or the life of the church or the young people's lives, that if I had been in church and done this or that, or it would have been easy to follow. I don't want to teach them a cheap gospel. I don't want to preach to them a cheap gospel. But if you've been in church at any point in your life, you've most likely heard the age-old hymn in which I keep referencing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. The hymn was inspired by the last words of a martyr for Jesus Christ. The song was penned and is often sung during invitation, as a congregational. However, church, do we often realize what the depths are of following Jesus, of what we actually sing when we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. About 150 years ago, there was a revival in Wales. And as a result of this, many missionaries came to the Northeast India to spread the gospel. The regions known as Assam was comprised of hundreds of tribes of primitive and aggressive headhunters. It's a little bit different than Logat. We just have aggressive. We don't have primitive, all right? But they had primitive and aggressive headhunters in this area. And into these hostile and aggressive communities came a group of missionaries from the American Baptist Mission, spreading the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Naturally, they were not welcome. Right? There was no parties that says the missionaries are here. They were not welcome. One missionary, however, succeeded in converting a man and his wife and his two children over in the northeast part of India. And the man's faith proved to be contagious amongst many of the villagers, and they began to accept Christ and convert to Christianity. And the missionary thought, wow, that is fantastic. And he began to inscribe the words, the one who has accepted Jesus and his family. He began to one day sit down and inscribe the words of the famous song, I have decided to follow Jesus. For he and my family and now a bunch of my fellow villagers have accepted Christ as their Savior. Well, the missionary thought, man, that's great. And as he come back off the field, he thought, he's telling that story everywhere. However, unbeknownst to him, the chief of that tribe became very angry that somebody was stealing his allegiance. Somebody was going around telling of a so-called man named Jesus. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers, and they came there, and he called for the family of the first converted, and he said, renounce your faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man instantly recalled the song in which he wrote, as the chief screamed at him, what's your answer? What's your answer? Renounce or die? Renounce or die? And the man began to think of the song that he had wrote, and as the chief said, what's the answer? The man looked up at him and said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Chief, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Chief, no turning back. No turning back. And raised at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered the man to strike down his two children. And bam, bam, behind right one right by the other, the two children were killed tragically. And as the chief looked over at the father, as his children still lay twitching on the floor, the chief asked, will you deny your faith now? Did you think I was kidding with you? What's your answer? You've lost both your children. Will you lose your wife now too? Recant or die? He stood there in front of him, and his hot tears began to course down his face. He said back to the chief, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Chief, no turning back. No turning back. And the chief now is real enraged, and he said, that's fine. You want to play this game? Men, kill his wife. Bam. His wife fell dead beside his two children. And the man, once again with tears running down his face, the chief now angry at the man said, I will give you one more opportunity to deny the faith, and you can live. But if not, you'll be in the dirt, just as your family. With tears running down his face, but a smile, tears running down his face with a smile, he says, Chief, the cross before me, the world behind me. Chief, the cross before me, the world behind me. Tears and a smile, no turning back, no turning back. They took his life. He fell down to the dirt, and the chief began to get a little uncomfortable. Chief began to say, hold on a minute. We just killed a man that watched his two children die, that watched his wife die, and that he paid the price of death for a man he'd never even met that lived oh so far away of a story of 2,000 years ago. And the chief in his heart said, if he's willing to die for what he believes in, I need something that he's got. I want the faith that he's got. Long story short, the man became a martyr for Jesus Christ. In your red back hymnals that are not in the pews, you can Google and turn to a page, and it will be, I have decided to follow Jesus. You know why? Because somebody said, though none go with me, still I will follow. Somebody said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Somebody purposed in their heart. You know why we have the opportunity to sit here tonight? Because somebody said, no turning back. No turning back. Church, I ask you, will you turn back? I ask you tonight, though none go with you, will still you follow? Hey, it might be a lonely road for just a little while, but Jesus is greater than all those other things that may come your way. What does your faith in Christ say about you today? Hey, it's easy to say I've decided to follow Jesus long as it's convenient for my lifestyle and the sun's still up when I wake. It's easy to say the world behind me, the cross before me, as long as I can walk in either direction and come and go as I please. But where the rubber meets the road and separating the comfortable and the Christian is this portion. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Joshua said, choose you this day. Today's the day, church. Young people, today's the day. But if you choose to go another way, sadly, and if we part ways, sadly, I want you to know, though none go with me, still I will follow.